All right. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I want to finish up. We've been talking about the word commit in the Bible and how it's used in various places. And we looked at how that the Lord, when He was on the cross, said, "Into thy hand I commit my spirit," and how what that meant and what He was doing in the dying in faith and the faith of Christ, and how that is also how we are saved, by committing our soul to the Lord, trusting Him for our salvation. And then we looked last week about the Apostle Paul and how that there was something committed to him. And in verse chapter 9, verse 16, starting there, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward, but if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." And so there was something committed to Paul in the gospel, the dispensation of the gospel was committed to him, and how we looked at that last week and how that was different. It was a different gospel. It was different, a whole different body of knowledge and doctrine that was committed to Paul, and it was given to him first. But we begin to look at how that commitment that was given to Paul is then transferred to other people. And the way that God's will is performed today is we've been committed to this doctrine now. This gospel has been committed to us, and it's up to us now to get it out. And I want to look at some things about that today for a few minutes, about this, the commitment that we should have and what has been committed to us. In fact, look back over in 2 Timothy. Look in 2 Timothy in chapter 2. In chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou," there's the word, "commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." So we see the method in which the gospel is presented. You see, it was given to Paul first, on the road to Damascus. And we saw last week how that Paul said that I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So this gospel, the fact that Jesus Christ went on the cross and He died for our sins, and He's not imputing trespasses. He's not doing that. Look, in fact, look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Notice verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us," that word "given" there, that's another word for committed, "has committed unto us, has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we're ambassadors." So you see, this message of reconciliation, the fact that God is not imputing trespasses today. We have been forgiven. All of our sins, every single sin, from the moment you were born until the day you leave this earth, has been forgiven. It was all placed on Jesus Christ. He died for all of your sins. That message is the message that God wants presented to the whole world. And that is why it's so important to rightly divide the word of truth, because Satan uses the Word of God deceitfully and looks at things in other passages, in other dispensations, and muddies up the water and counterfeits the gospel. That's why Paul was so adamant in Galatians when he said, if any man preach any other gospel which I except that I preached, let him be accursed. Have nothing to do with him. So we have this gospel, and we need to keep it pure, and we need to keep it unadulterated, totally free of any other acts, any other works. It's just the fact that you trust Jesus Christ and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And that was the gospel that was committed to Paul, and then Paul then committed it to people, and then those people committed unto people. And it goes from there to all the way down when you get down here to 2014. It blows my mind to think that the very gospel, the very same gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to Paul some 2,000 years ago is the very same gospel that God is using today to save people. The same gospel. The very same way. Paul said he was a pattern to them that would hereafter believe. So that very same way that Paul was saved, he's still saving people today, folks. It's still the same gospel. It still has the same power. It hadn't lost its power. It still will save any person who will believe it. It's the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. And that gospel is what has been committed unto us. It's laid at our feet now. It's our turn. It's our time. It started with Paul. And through the centuries, it comes all the way down to right now, right here, where we're at in Hamptonville, North Carolina. And here we are, and we have the gospel. It's our turn. What are we going to do with it? What are we going to do? You know, look over in 1 Timothy and notice how seriously Paul took this in 1 Timothy. First Timothy chapter 1. Notice verse 11. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, the glorious gospel, it's context here, which was committed to my trust. The Lord Jesus Christ committed the gospel to Paul's trust. In other words, the Lord laid that gospel down at his feet, and he said, this is yours. That's why he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, woe is to me if I preach not the gospel. He said, if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed. It was given to Paul by the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul took it. And you, in his flesh, presented that gospel to people. And then they presented it. And then they presented it. I can't. One of the things that, and it may be a carnal thought, it may not be anything, but I'm a history guy, right? So it's always I always think back to time, you know, years ago, hundreds of years ago. But you know, we do family trees. You know, people will get online and they'll search out their family tree and they'll see who their great 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 grandfather is and go on down. Think about how neat it would be if you could trace the lineage of who shared the gospel with you and go up from there. You know, who preached to you that allowed you to hear the gospel? Who preached to them that allowed them to hear the gospel? And you move on up the line. It'd be interesting to, you know, to see how, because somebody somewhere throughout time since Paul has been preaching the gospel. You think about that. Even in the dark ages, when people think there wasn't anything and the Catholic Church had a lock hold on everything that was being taught, the gospel was still being preached. Somewhere, somehow. But throughout all of that, Paul said that I planted, Apollos watered, but who gets the glory? Maybe we won't ever know that because God gets the glory. He's the one that giveth the increase. But this, it's been Paul said it's been committed to my trust. Who was verse 13? Or verse 12? And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Paul looked at it as an honor, and he was thankful that he was enabled and that the Lord put him in the ministry. If you're saved today, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you're in the ministry. You're there. Whether you want to be there or not. You know, it's funny, you go to a T-ball game sometimes and baseball, the little kids, and there's always a few of those little kids who are out there in the field, but you can tell that they would rather be somewhere else. You know, sometimes you find them and they're out playing in the dirt, you know, and the ball comes by and they just want to go by and they just keep playing in the dirt. You know, you got those kids, their mom and daddy wants them to play, but they don't really care, you know, and they're just out there. They'll hit the ball, then they'll just kind of stand there and watch it. Oh yeah, I'm supposed to run, you know, that type thing. Well, you know, that's kind of how we are. There are people who are saved and in the body of Christ, and they're in the ministry. They're in the game. But you wouldn't know it by looking at them. They're down playing in the dirt somewhere when the ball's coming their way. You know, this is our time. Notice what he says in 1 Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. I mean, when Paul, you read in the book of Acts, and when Paul went to Thessalonica, it was tough. It was hard. He had to suffer to get this word to the Thessalonians. He suffered to get that gospel out to people. He suffered to lay that foundation of the body of Christ so that we can just hear it and believe it now. But notice what he said, verse 3. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. Now notice verse 4. Love this verse. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as an earth cherishes her children. He wasn't using flattering words. He wasn't seeking after glory. He understood that he had been allowed to be put in trust with the gospel. We have been allowed by the Creator of the universe to be given a message to the world that Jesus saves and that the power of God unto salvation is available to all men who will simply believe the gospel, that all of their sins have been forgiven, that they have an apostle and they have a doctrine set forth to them. They have you know, we've been given so much. We've been given it on a silver platter. You know, if Paul wanted to get the gospel out to somebody, if he wanted to get the gospel out to people, if he lived in Hamptonville, and he wanted to get the gospel to the people in Statesville, he couldn't hop in a car and drive to Statesville. He walked for the most part. You know, I drive to Asheville on Wednesdays. Some people think that's a big deal. I'm just sitting in a car listening to the radio riding up the road. That's not hard. I'm not suffering like Paul did. Oh, we have easy. We have it easy. We have the completed Word of God. That's something they didn't have in Paul's day. They didn't have it 1,000 years for the most part after Paul. We've got it. We've got everything that we need to do the ministry and to do the thing that God has given us to do. And you know, I want you to turn over to Luke. I want you to look over in Luke chapter 12. And this is I'm taking this, this parable here out of context to make a spiritual application, but it fits. We're servants of God. And notice this servant here in Luke chapter 12, verse 37. Luke 12, 37. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that He shall gird Himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. And if He shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this ought know that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when you think not. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? So the reward here is a ruler over a household. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. So is a servant, but they're going to become a ruler. Now notice this. Notice what he says here, verse 45. But if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the manservants and the maidens, and to eat and to drink and be drunken. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at that hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Now, I realize that the context here is the tribulation, and I realize here that the coming of the Lord here is the second coming. But I'm wanting to make an application here of what they have. I'll tie it all together. Notice it says here in verse 47, And that servant which knew the Lord's... Notice this is important. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. For whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. You see, we've been given everything that we need. We know what the will of the Lord is. We understand the Word of God rightly divided. We know what the pure gospel of Jesus Christ is. We've got knowledge that people maybe 100, 200 years ago didn't have. For much that is given, much is required. There's another parable I'm not going to go over there in Matthew chapter 25 that's similar, where a servant was given 5 talents. One was given 2 talents and one was given 1 talent. And they were to take that money, talent was money, and go out and make more money with that. and the one with five made 10. The one with two made 4. And then the one with one, instead of going out and getting two, he took it and hid it. He was scared. He was scared he would mess it up. He was scared that he wouldn't do anything with it. So he just hid it. And so when the Lord came back, the one with five and the one with that had 10 and the one that had 2 and had made 4 said, "Welcome, my good and faithful servant." But the one that had 1 and hid it and didn't do anything with it, he took that 1 and gave it to the other. The point of that is that sometimes we get scared. Sometimes you're scared that you're going to mess up. Sometimes you don't feel like you have anything to give. But you've got time to, if you don't have anything else, you've got the same amount of time in a week that I have and anybody else has. Time is the great equalizer. We don't all have the same ability. We don't all have the same amount of money and income. But we all have time. And we all can pray. So there's always things that we can be doing to spread this gospel. To do it. And doing it with a willing heart. I want to turn back. I've got a couple of minutes. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Notice what Paul says here. Very important. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 17. Notice he's talking about the gospel here. "For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." If I do this thing willingly. You see, the key is your heart. We read over in 1 Thessalonians that the Lord trieth the hearts. He knows your thoughts. He knows why you're doing what you're doing. And He wants you to give willingly. He wants you to do what you do for Him because the love of Christ constraineth us. Paul said that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For the love of Christ constrains us. He wants you to do what you do for Him because you love Him and because you want to give Him glory. He wants you to have a willing heart in doing this. If you're here today for any other reason other than the fact that you love the Lord and you want to serve Him, then you're here for the wrong reason. It's a willing heart. That's where your reward comes from. If I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. I want to look at, turn back to Exodus chapter 35. And a type of this in Exodus chapter 35. The context here in Exodus chapter 35 was that Israel was out in the wilderness. They had came out from Egypt and they had crossed the Red Sea and they were out in the wilderness and they were preparing a tabernacle in the wilderness. They had taken spoils from Egypt. When they left Egypt, the Bible said they spoiled them. The Egyptians not only let them go, but it's like, "Here, take," because they had seen the Lord and His work, so they took, and the Egyptians gave them, and they left. So they had things, they had possessions, they had these things. They were their possessions. So as they began to build the tabernacle in the wilderness, this is the account of it. And while we're reading this, I want you to compare this to what we are today. Today we live in a sin-cursed world. We live in the wilderness. Today, in this wilderness that we call the earth, the members of the body of Christ who've trusted Christ as their Savior, who have been created in Christ Jesus, now are building, helping the Lord build the body of Christ in this wilderness, a tabernacle, if you will. And notice what they do here. Notice verse 4. Exodus 35:4. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skins, dyed red and badger skins and shittim wood and oil for the light and spices for anointing oil and for the sweet incense and onyx stones and stones that be set for the ephod or ephod, ephod, and for the breastplate. And every wise-hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord hath commanded. Do you see how this was working? People would bring the things. Most of the things that he mentioned here, they're gold, they're silver, they're precious stone. What does Paul say in 1 Corinthians chapter 3? What are the things that won't be burnt at the judgment seat of Christ? Gold, silver, precious stone. That's what you find here. They were giving to the work of building the tabernacle in the wilderness. That's what we do today with a willing heart. We bring the things that have been given to us. We bring those things to the Lord as an offering. What are you bringing to the Lord? What do you have? Then that's what you bring. He wants willing people. God loveth a cheerful giver. I'm not just talking about money, but it includes money. I'm not talking about just work, physical work. I'm talking about your time. I'm talking about your thoughts. I'm talking about your prayers. I'm talking about your attendance here. I'm talking about all of it. What is it? Are you committed? You've been given something. What are you going to do with it? You're just going to lay it down? You're going to let somebody else do it? Because the world needs to hear it. The world needs to hear this gospel. And it's your job and it's my job to get it out. Okay? Now, before I'm going to let you go, but I do want to let you know that I have been working all week on our video.